Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've got D.C. Reeves on the line. He is the mayor of Pensacola, in case you hadn't heard, and doing a pretty good job of it, by my estimation. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's start with the easy, hard stuff first. You ready?
Let's do it.
Why do you want to put 5 speed tables in on East Cross Street? What's wrong with you? Come on now.
You're giving me another Curb Your Enthusiasm moment as mayor, because I asked, what I asked was, let's make sure everybody wants one. And we have a very meticulous process about how to do that. We don't just wake up one day and come put one in. Because if you've heard me at town halls, I talk about all the time, everyone wants a speed table till we put it in, and then they call and say how loud the speed table is.
Mm-hmm.
As the neighbors that walk through there, we have to have at least 75% people approve it. And of course at Cross Street, we've had significant, people flying through there through East Hill. So, we have done all of the things through the protocol that we should do to make sure that this is, one, qualified to put it here, two, that the residents want it. And again, that the need's there and all of those things. So we've gone through that process. I made sure of that before we decided to do that. And that's what the community wants. And again, the need is there. And so that's what we'll do.
Are they going to be the kind, because there's all different kinds of speed humps, speed bumps, speed, all kinds of things. Are these going to be the ones where genuinely, if you drive across them at the speed limit, your car is fine, or are these going to be ones that require you to slow down below the speed limit in order to get over the speed table?
Right. I don't know exactly, to be honest with you. I don't know which ones they are that they're okay. putting in. Obviously I would always defer to the Public Works, on what they, what they're going to put in. Ironically, I'm literally going over one right now downtown. but
how'd you like that? Was that fun?
It was nice and quiet, just like you like. We'll see. But again, remember that we've got a lot of experience of putting these in, both good and bad, even well-intended, and then having complaints and all that. So I'm sure, I have a lot of trust in our team that we're doing the right thing, putting the right material in that has the happy medium between people flying through East Hill, as well as, something that is palatable for the neighbor.
All right, last question on this, only because these are a unique pet peeve of mine. When you talk to David or whoever, Forte or whoever, do they tell you that speed tables actually work to reduce speed in neighborhoods? Because I've never been a believer in them being effective, because they only make people slow down at the speed bump and not in the in-betweens, but maybe they shovel traffic onto another street where you create a problem somewhere else. But I'm asking, do your experts tell you that they, and I know it's not your choice at 75%, it's the residents picked and all that. I'm just saying, do your experts tell you that speed tables work?
Yes, and also some of the homework that's done is homework that alleviates the concern you're talking about, which is, if we put it's not just about the speed table on the street. If we put a speed table on street A, then what happens? Does everybody go around it? Those are things, of course, that we look at. Same with a stop sign. If you put a stop sign on X road, then what happens to the roads around it? And what is the consequence? So, yes, those are all things that we look at. And, with the series of 5 of them, put it this way, we're in a better situation than we were the day before we put them in terms of the speeding right now and the lack of stop signs and the fact that particular road, people can just be flying through there.
Got it.
So we'll see how it goes. I think that puts us in a better situation than we were in before.
One of the other things that's going on the agenda for next week, and I thought this was interesting because I'm interested to see what the rationale is for it. You've got a new ordinance proposed prohibiting the obstruction of sidewalks, essentially preserving a 36-inch path on any sidewalk. What's the reason for this? What problem are you trying to solve? Tell me, what is this all about?
Well, really, this is already existing requirement by us. This is a federal ADA requirement to leave pathways clear, especially so in some of our urban area, downtown areas. We're seeing issues, whether it be somebody who has a license to use that has tables out front, whether there's objects, blocking the way. We're starting as there's more activity, there's more things that prohibit what our requirement is. So this isn't creating a new rule. It's a rule that's already on the books. ultimately, this is, it gives us an ability to enforce a rule. And before people say, hey, we're going to write tickets to people, you know, standing out on the street or who leave their bike or restaurants that leave their that have tables in the way. Number one, again, that's already a rule that should be complying with. And number two, as the ordinance states, the first ask is to correct the mistake. This is not a gotcha game. This right. is about us being able to be compliant with what we're already required by federal law to be compliant to. This just gives us the ability that if you continually do so, then we have an additional layer of enforcement that isn't in place.
And it does specifically read in the ordinance, no person shall be in violation of this law unless they receive, at the time the obstruction is occurring, a minimum of one verbal warning followed by a reasonable time to readjust, relocate, or move. So when I first read this, and it might just be the sort of interpretive baggage that I bring to the exercise, but when I first read this, I read this as an anti-panhandling, is what it seemed to me. It seemed to be homeless. And I thought, well, you know, okay, there's the scooters. And then you mentioned this morning the tables that might be out cluttering the right away. And I'm thinking about mobility issues, people in wheelchairs and things like that. Is it in all of those? Is there one of those that's really driving this? Your comment, like, what is the focus?
It's all of them. I mean, look, as part of a growing city, a growing downtown that gets busier and busier, that's something that we all enjoy. That's something that's great. At the end of the day, if you've got tables in a way, if you've got your bicycle in a way, if a person's laying in the way, this isn't targeted to any one person, whether that was Andrew McKay or D.C. Reeves or anyone.
Did you just invite me to go lay on the sidewalk on Palafox with you? Is that what
Yeah,
well, I mean, hey, you know, I don't know how busy your weekends are, but
I can find time.
But at the end of the day, this is something we are required by law to be compliant to. That's all we're saying. So at the end of the day, what use is it to have that without anything on the books that says, hey, if this becomes a continual issue, and we're going to be sending letters to everyone who has licenses to use. I had one when I had the brewery. It was with the state of Florida because it's on a state road. But you're required to do that. I mean, and you see that sometimes on the weekends as well. So it's also for the commercial businesses to make sure that they're following the rule that they know exists already.
No reports on anybody lying down on the sidewalk on Palafox Street or anything? No? Okay. All right. Just checking.
I know I can't get through there with all the panhandlers on the sidewalk.
True. Yeah, that's the
but,
issue.
You know, whatever.
One of the other things that you've got coming up on the meeting next week is to rename, to dedicate a pretty significant chunk of 9th Avenue for Louis Baer Jr. as Louis Baer Jr. Way, right?
Yeah, and that's through started by the state of Florida. That's a state road, so this is kind of our part of it, of that state road obligation. But we've talked about. I know many people in this community have talked about the impact that Louis and his family have had on this community, and a name I've known since I can ever remember. And certainly. A force for this community, an advocate, especially pretty fitting it's a state road because he was as good a representative for this community at the state level, especially more than anyone I can think of. So, kind of fulfilling our part of this state road designation and certainly happy to do so.
So that'll be what, Cervantes all the way to Bayfront. And I'm still not sure what the rename of Bayfront for, like, Pensacola Police Department, Memorial, whatever. But so will the street signs actually become Louis Baer Jr. Way, like when you're crossing, or will it stay as 9th Avenue and it's an honorary designation?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that. Just as for clarification, like the Fallen Heroes Highway is what you're referring to in terms of Bayfront. Same thing. If you go right before, just westbound of the port, if you're going eastbound on Main, you'll see the Fallen Heroes Highway sign. It's one of those state designations.
Okay.
You will not change. You know, people who live on the street aren't, or have businesses on the street aren't changing their address or anything like that.
And the only reason I ask, I mean, certainly a well appropriate personage to have a road designated after him, but you know, we always have the conversation about how many, you know, six names for Bayou, Brent, Michigan, whatever. We don't need to be extra chunking roads into new names. And for the directions part, I was kind of concerned about that. Speaking
sure.
of downtown, 17th Avenue, there's a lot, and you and I have talked about this many times, but we've kind of talked about pieces of the puzzle. There's a pretty comprehensive map on the agenda because there's a lot of things happening around the trestle, the boat ramp, and a boardwalk that's going to be built so people don't have to die trying to cross under the trestle on 9th Avenue. What, and also in coordination with the chimes and the warning for the bridge. What are you doing here?
Right. Well, we're trying to put all of the things that are much needed down there and bring them in for a landing. You guys have heard me say ad nauseum about it's time to take care of the things we have. I couldn't think of a better example than Wayside Park. It's in disrepair. And I mean, I wouldn't bring my family down there. You probably wouldn't bring your family down there right now in the state that it's in. And that's our obligation, to take the things that we have and make them what they should be. And so we've got some money set aside, in the $1.2, $1.3 million area, which is not enough to complete everything all the way to the fishing bridge. But that's our intent. I feel confident enough that we'll get the remaining funding through other sources, potentially FDOT resiliency dollars for the seawall and other things. I was asked about FEMA. You know, we're 3 years in with FEMA. The number is going down. Then Skanska comes up, and then I'm kind of getting exhausted with that process. So we're moving forward. If we'll continue to work with FEMA. If the FEMA dollars come through, we'll look at it. But we got to get moving. And but yes, it's to bring all of these things we've talked about, the chimes, protect the bridge. We were able to negotiate with the new rail company about getting the walkthrough under the trestle closer to the water to make that a much safer crossing. The boat launch itself, I mean, the asphalt under the boat launch wasn't, the proper material wasn't put in place. So it's just crumbling if you see it, and it doesn't look good. So we're going to get all of that worked out all at once to make sure we don't put the chimes in, then have to take them out for a new curb and then put them back in,
yeah,
et cetera. We're going to do all of this in one fell swoop.
And I am certainly a supporter of the boardwalk thing. I don't know how many people are going to be willing to go that extra 100 feet or whatever, 150 feet out of their way to use it. But, I mean, I certainly support it, and I think it'll be a beautiful amenity when we get it done. So, good luck. And let's say good luck on, people actually using it once it's done. We always like to end with the lightning round, Mr. Mayor. My lightning questions for you. Does D.C. Reeves ever sleep in a public place like, say, I don't know, at an airport or a library or a park bench? Do you ever sleep in public?
No, I just can't. I'm not a good sleeper on a plane, in a car. I need the traditional setup to get some Z's.
In your own car parked on like the side of the road ever?
Nope. Or as a passenger.
Not
as a driver. Yeah.
Oh, man, as the passenger, I'm out. that's yeah. Why my wife drives, so I can see. Is your speaking of driving, is your dashboard squeaky, sparkling clean, or does it have, let's just say, clutter? Does it have stuff on the dashboard?
There is stuff right now. There's my something for my doctor's office and the City of Pensacola parking pass that I'm supposed to have put on a couple months ago. Those are the two things I've got there right now.
That's your mayor's badge is what that is. Do you judge people for having a cluttered dashboard?
No, but how could I? I don't keep as clean a car as I should. Part of showing you how hard I'm working.
I gotcha. And so last thing is, yesterday was National Cheese Pizza Day. Is cheese pizza ever the best pizza order?
No, I mean, it's not, but again, with kids, I eat a lot more cheese pizza
than
I did maybe 10 years ago. So no, absolutely not. You got to have something on there.
Thank you.
Pepperoni jalapeno.
That's directed at you, Candy, by the way.
You still have my vote.
What'd you say, jalapeno and what?
I said pepperoni and jalapeno is kind of my go-to.
That's a little extra. That's a little different. Spicy though, I like it. I admire the boldness.
That's an admirable
it's
pizza.
A bold
yeah,
choice, Cotton. I hope it works out for him. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday. Mayor, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.